Colossians 2, 6, and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Let's pray. Lord, we have lifted up our voices in praise. We have called out to you in prayer. We have brought our gifts, which represent a piece of our very heart before you. And now as we sit, Lord, we offer to you our ears and our minds and our understanding. We pray that you would speak to us now in these moments. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, one of the things that's kind of fun about being alive today and driving is the quality of the cars that you and I have the privilege of owning. But when I was growing up, the idea that a car would go over 100,000 miles, that was a pretty big deal. And nowadays, you have cars that can go, well, 200, 300. I think the longest Volvo has been driven a million or more miles. I mean, that was just unheard of back in the 60s and the 70s. Our car industry back in the 60s and the 70s went through a really bad season. So that one of the specific makers, and I won't mention it by name, had a couple different acronyms. Its name had four letters, and something about cars being on the roadside dead or needing to be fixed or repaired daily. Oops. Well, you know, and manufacturers would lose market. They would lose reputation. But I remember watching on television as whoever had become the head of the Ford Motor Company at that point in time had a wonderful marketing plan. But the best part, that it wasn't just a marketing plan, it represented something that they were actually committed to. And as the ad would end, you would see the Ford insignia, and you would see someone with a little cloth in his hand, and it'd be kind of polishing it off, and it said, where quality is job one. And they had just introduced some cars that actually fulfilled that. And what they represented to us is something that happens time and time again. A company does well, it gets a little arrogant that it's done well, and it stops paying attention to detail, and its quality goes down, and then it loses, and then, oh, I think we forgot the main thing, and we have to come back to what the first thing was. And, you know, just it's cyclical. It takes place over and over and over again. And so Ford returned to keeping first things first, and for many years they prospered because of that. Last week, as we began this section of Colossians, we thought about some first things. Some things that if we are not doing them, there are a lot of things that we can do, but we won't be doing the most important thing. There are a lot of things that we can do that may be good in and of themselves, but they may be the wrong thing because we haven't kept the first thing first. For Paul, the first thing as he was writing to the Colossians was his commission to present to people the Word of God, so that they would believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Having received Him as Lord of their lives, they would grow on to maturity. That was the purpose for Paul's ministry, the reason for his existence serving the Lord. And we read that last week as instructions to us, that the first thing is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the most important response of our hearts is to say yes. To say, Jesus, I recognize you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Not only do I know that externally, but I receive you in relationship to me in that regard. That is the first and most important thing. Building on that is that as we receive Him, you know, John said, to those who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And so we have the privilege of entering into a relationship with Him, a personal relationship with God as His sons, as His daughters. in words that elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus becomes our elder brother, if you will. And everything that Jesus has in heaven, he passes on to us. It's a part of the inheritance, the heritage that you and I receive. So the first thing, and to keep the first thing first that we spoke about last week, is to keep before our hearts and minds the gospel, the good news, the message of Jesus, that he is Lord, and in him we have forgiveness of our sin now, we have new life in our lives, and we have a home, an eternal home with him in heaven. That is the first business as Christians. That is the first business as a congregation, as a church. Keeping the first thing first is to orient ourselves around what is first to Christ. To get his focus, to understand what his focus is. And that Jesus' focus becomes my focus as a person. Jesus' focus becomes our focus, your focus as an individual. Focus is a very important thing. You know, in 1990, the Hubble Space Telescope was launched. A wonderful feat of engineering, being able to be sent up into the atmosphere, beyond the atmosphere, so that it can look way out into the deepest space. If you've ever had a chance to look at any of the images, it is absolutely astounding to see all that is out there. And as one of my favorite TV people, Bill Nye, likes to say, there's a lot of space in space. And the expanse and the stars and the planets and so many different things that we would never have been able to see. Do you recall that when Hubble was first launched, there was a problem? People kind of jokingly used the words nearsighted, as if the Hubble Space Telescope was nearsighted. Actually, as I was reading about it, it was the most minor of mistakes. As one of the lenses was ground, and it needed to be ground just right, the most minor of mistakes. And so while Hubble was able to see a lot clearly, its real purpose, to look into as deep as it could possibly go, was off. And they needed to put on a pair of glasses. They needed to put on a corrective lens to compensate so everything could be brought into focus. It's very easy for you and me to live life with the wrong focus. The most important focus is to understand, Lord, what's your focus? What's your purpose? When we think of the word focus and bringing something into focus, I think of three different aspects of that. The first is clarity. You know, if I take off my glasses, you are all really fuzzy. I mean, I can see you. It's not so bad that you're all just this amorphous blob. I can see all your colors. I can tell exactly who you are. I could name you all, actually, without my glasses. However, it's a lot nicer with the glasses on. It's clear. It brings something that's fuzzy into clarity so that you can understand. There's an additional aspect of focus, and that's for all of us who deal with ADHD kind of issues, and that is having all of this stuff going around, focus is being able to think of one thing and keeping one thing in mind. And then on that, applying it, building it. So when you think of an athlete who is really focused, he isn't just having one thing in mind, he's acting and he's accomplishing it. So this aspect of focus, number one, clarity, singularity, and then effort. And it's my belief that that is what the Lord desires for us to apply towards what is most important to him. Understanding what Jesus wants, having clarity of mind about what Jesus is looking for, having singleness of mind to be able to discern between all of the options, the first things, what are the most important things, and then the intention of actually accomplishing it, doing it together. Those are the first things that I believe the Lord desires for us. And this passage is a wonderful expression of those first things. We read it at the beginning, hear it again, Colossians 2, 6, and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, or continue to walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We spoke last week about being rooted. And we talked about just digging ourselves down so that He really becomes the foundation of life. We sang about that a little bit again in Scripture and song today. The idea of really planting ourselves securely on Him and allowing our lives to kind of relax from all of their busyness and craziness so that we can actually take in from Him what He desires for you and me to have. I used the example of a plant. And the difference between a plant whose root ball is all tied up in a knot versus a plant whose root ball is all spread out and has the chance to grow out deep into the soil and drink in all of the water and the nutrients. And the idea of you and I as Christians, the picture of being able to be rooted in Christ. In another agricultural kind of a picture, I just think of an oak tree. You know, the difference between an oak tree and a bunch of the brush that I pulled up along the house, the brush that I pulled up along the house just had surface roots that went out. You kind of give a couple yanks and they pull right up. It was wonderful. It was very easy. An oak tree doesn't take too long for that little acorn to send out a root that goes really deep, very firm. It anchors itself in the ground. And as I suggested last week, and I reiterate this morning, the Lord desires that you and I be people who are more like the oak tree than like the lilac bush or the forsythia that is all shallow, that in our deep heart of hearts we are growing in a relationship depending upon just digging ourselves down into the Lord Jesus. It's only digging ourselves down into the Lord Jesus that enables us to have a foundation to build on. I don't remember when I realized that in order to build a skyscraper, you have to have a deep foundation. I used to love learning about buildings and imagining cityscapes, and you know the skyline of Manhattan was one of the most beautiful human creations that you ever wanted to see. The only reason that you could build kind of buildings in Manhattan is that you can dig down and dig down and dig down, you finally get to bedrock. You know, there's other places in the country you can't do that because there is no bedrock, at least not really accessible. But in Manhattan, you can dig, and you have to dig down. If you're going to build a Liberty Tower at 776 feet, you need to dig down far enough to give it an anchor. But once you have it built down, dug down, then you can start to build up. And that is what Paul says here. As you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, now walk in Him, keep walking in Him, rooted, resting on the foundation that He is, and now built up in Him. How do you do that? What exactly does that look like? Well, I think the simplest thing is to say, I learned the basic truths about life, the foundational truths about life. I incorporate them into my life and I believe them and I allow them to change my life. When Ellie and I were in college, we were involved with Campus Crusade. You know that from many different conversations that we've had. And they had a wonderful system for helping to begin to build people up. They have a series of little booklets and they're all still available online, and they are called the Transferable Concepts. They're just little individual booklets all on one topic, full of scripture and full of teaching, and they are designed for someone who is a brand new Christian to know some of the most important things of life. There were 9 little books, and they had topics such as how to be sure you're a Christian, how to experience God's love and forgiveness, how to live in the Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, how to tell others about Jesus, how to love one another, how to pray. And the basic formula was, this is what the Bible says. And here are some ideas of how to do that. One of the most important things for you or me as a Christian, right at the very beginning, is this issue of assurance. If you want to grow strong and be built up in the Lord Jesus, you have to be certain with the fact that you're safe, that you're secure, And so 1 John 5, you know, the witness is this: God has given us His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. As we would talk with people about that verse and we would share it, you know, the witness is this: in Christ is life. You know, he who has the Son, what? Has life. Oh, he's saying, I write these things to you who have faith in the Son of God, that you may, what? Feel like you have life? Hope that you have life? Wish that you have life? Know that you have life. One of the basic building blocks that you should know, that's a verse that you should know from 1 John chapter 5, to know that you have as a possession eternal life. That you have it right now. It isn't just a future promise, it's something that you have right now. Part of being built up in the faith is just learning something that basic. Well, experiencing God's love and forgiveness in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ephesians 1, Paul says, in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Don't you live differently when you don't think that you're forgiven versus when you really have accepted and believe that you are forgiven? Part of being built up in your life is believing and resting yourself on the reality, is this amazing thing that for some reason only known to God, when you gave your life to Jesus, He forgave you. When you gave your life to Jesus, He forgave you of everything you've ever done, of all the things you should have done but didn't do, of everything you've ever said, of all the things that you should have said but didn't say. He forgave you. And when He forgives you, it's as far as the east is from the west. It's sunken down to the bottom of the ocean. It is behind His back. You know, the picture of the realization of forgiveness. That's a foundational building block in your faith and mind. It is so important in terms of mindset. If you are walking through the door just waiting for God to get you for something that you've done, if you are walking with this burden that you could never be good enough, God could never accept you, boy, how can you grow in Him? How can your life be built up? It's a part of being built up in Christ. Those were the first steps. After a semester, we would, in a small group, go through those 9 little books, and we would have some real foundational understanding in our hearts. Well, the next piece of being built up in our life was something called the 10 basic steps. And that was 10 5- or 6-week Bible studies introducing us to the person of Jesus. You know, it's one thing when you read the Gospels and the New Testament, and those are good things, but when somebody sits down and they actually thematically walk you through some things in Jesus' life and understanding who He was before He came to this earth and His coming and His life, His teaching, His identity, boy, you start to realize, this guy that I worship, he's pretty cool. He's great. I am so glad I have a relationship with Him. And so our life has another level of building on the foundation of knowing Christ. Understanding from His perspective what the Christian life is about. A lot of people, you know, we could probably pull everybody in our congregation. We could have dozens of different ideas. Well, this is what I think it means to be a Christian. This is what I think it means to live as a Christian. Maybe we should ask the boss. You know, and maybe we should try to find out what His focus is. And so we come and we understand and we study. We learn more about the Holy Spirit in our lives. We take some deeper steps in prayer. We begin to understand and examine, what exactly is this book anyway? I mean, is it just a collection of stories? I mean, what exactly is this? And we begin to understand. We learn about obedience and how important it is now that I love the Lord, it's really important for me to do what He asks me to do. Isn't that a sign that I love Him, doing what He desires? And now that I've experienced this great gift, I want to be able to tell other people. So another level of building on the foundation. As I look back over the years of being here, we have accomplished a lot together. We have talked about a lot of different things. I have probably spoken about each of these things, at least at some point. But I wonder if it could be a little bit more systematic. You know, an opportunity where you can say, you know what, I've been through, let's call it Christianity 101. I've been through that. I've learned that material. I'm learning to depend upon it. And my relationship with the Lord is being strengthened. And I'm taking some steps to actually grow. So I guess the question that I would ask of you as you look back over your life, and I'm going to ask you to be very specific. I'm not going to ask you for an answer, but I want you to think about it. How has your understanding of your Christian life increased and grown over the last month? I'm hearing a whistle or a little noise. I don't know if there's something kind of coming over. I don't if there's a electronic. Anybody hear the little jingle? Yeah, I don't. Okay. It's quiet. Thank you. Cut that out later. How has your life changed over the last 6 months, over the last year, that you can say, you know what, I've deepened? You know, this is an area in which my understanding of Christ has grown, and I feel like I'm depending upon Him in a new and stronger way. That is a first thing. That is not something that is optional. You know, if you're going to buy a car, it has to have a transmission. If you're going to buy a car, it needs wheels. If you're going to buy a car, nowadays it has to have power windows, but I remember... Anybody still have crank windows? You know, that was an option. It's not an option anymore. You know, my friend Dale went out to South Dakota this year in one of those brand new Lincolns that he rented. And there's more non-optional stuff that you just depend on. Well, friends, this is not optional. This is a first thing that apart from these kinds of foundational things, no matter what else you do, it's not going to be built on the right foundation. It's going to be like having the wrong mixture of concrete in your foundation and finding out 5 years later that your walls are falling down because you didn't have the right mixture of all the ingredients that made the concrete base. So some basic steps. The relationship that you have to the Word of God. Is your time in the Word growing, and is its impact in your life growing? Or are you kind of the same as you have been forever? That's really a first thing as far as life. Your place in the body. You know, God did not, He saves us individually, but He does not save us to keep us individuals. We come together in the body of Christ, not just the institutionalized church, but as believers together. And He has given me gifts to be for your benefit. He has given you gifts to be for each other's benefit. He's given us the opportunity to encourage and to bless and to come alongside and to strengthen and to serve. That's foundational. That's just a given. That's a most important thing in life. It is part of being built up in Him. So as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, keep walking in Him, rooted down and built up. And then He says, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Little words are very important. And in the Greek language, this verse does not just say strengthened in faith. It would be very easy to think, oh, strengthened in faith, that means I'm supposed to grow strong. No, what He means is that you and I need to keep growing in our understanding of the faith. There's a content, there's a body of information that you and I need to have and we are building our lives on. over the course of time in various studies. You know, we've read through the Purpose-Driven Life. We have read through the Heidelberg Catechism. We have spent a long time in our adult Bible study on Thursdays going through something called Foundations, which takes 11 major doctrines of Scripture and trying to understand. That is the faith. You know, understanding the whole category of what you and I believe. It's not just about my own personal private thought life and faith life. It's sort of like what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because he's talking about a tradition that he received. He said, I want to remind you, 15:1, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you take your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached. What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And here's the core. Jesus died for our sins, as the Bible said he would. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, as the Bible said he would. And he appeared to others. Others have seen him. That's the faith. You know, we rest our lives and our hearts on a body of teaching, on a doctrine from the Scripture, and that's what we seek to build ourselves on. Is your understanding of the message of Scripture growing? Is your understanding and your knowledge of what the content of the message is, are you growing and firming up your life on that? Being strengthened in the faith. Being strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and then finally overflowing in thankfulness. That's a very important final word. It's very easy when we get strengthened in faith and knowledge to have knowledge puff up. You know, knowledge is a good thing, but we can get arrogant because we know more than somebody else does, or we know it right and they're all wrong. So knowledge can puff up. Knowledge can lead to pride in oneself. Knowledge can lead us to look down on others. Knowledge can sometimes make us judgmental because somebody else isn't doing things exactly the way that we think. And we can become Christian Pharisees, which is not a very pretty picture. To be overflowing with thanksgiving springs first and foremost from the heart of humility. And humility begins with, Lord, who am I that you have given me this? That thought's been in my mind all morning. I prayed that way in our prayer time before Sunday school, and I've been thinking of it. The Lord of the universe, and here's Pastor Jim Beasley, this little 6-foot dot. Who am I that the Lord of the universe would look at me? Who are you? Who are you that God would think anything of you? Why would God have you in mind? And yet, we have this idea that we are so first and foremost in God's heart. You know, if something bad happens, God, why did you do that to me? I think he's a little busier than having to worry about that. Humility. Who are you? Who am I? And yet, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are his son. You are his daughter. You are made a joint heir with Jesus of all the glory that he has in heaven forever and ever and ever. But not because we deserved it. We did everything not to deserve it. And so, our overflowing with thanks at our ability that we're even in the place that we want to learn. Because not all of us were always in that place. Can you remember a time when this would have been, you know, just, who cares? I'm not interested at all. Can you remember a time when it wasn't important? Or perhaps even worse, you were living in a totally opposite direction. And now you have come to hear and see humility. Overflowing with thankfulness would be an expression of joy. That Jesus loves me so much. that he loved me so much, he died on the cross guilty, as if he were guilty of everything that I have done. He died on the cross in my place. I deserve that death, but he did it for me, and he's forgiven me. He's acting as if I never did anything at all, and he's accepting me completely in his Son. Boy, if that doesn't fill your heart with joy, I don't know what does. Humility, joy, fruitfulness. When I think of this picture in this verse, again, going back to the oak tree, that one little acorn that sinks its root way down into the ground, and the little tree grows, and it grows. I remember we planted an oak tree in our backyard when I was growing up, and every winter, I don't know if it was rabbits or what, but every winter the snow would get up so high, and in the spring the top of the oak tree would be gone. Every year for about 4 or 5 years until the snow finally was really kind of crazy. But that oak tree was bound and determined it was going to grow. And the last time I was over there, it was a huge mammoth tree. Because the root went down and the trunk began to be built up. And year after year, it added more bark and more wood and more bark and more wood. And it was strengthened until it made this beautiful canopy with green leaves. And you know what? I have no idea how many million acorns that oak tree has probably produced in the 40 or so years since we first planted it. The purpose of an oak tree, apart from providing wood, you know, provides shade and provides acorns for more oak trees. It's fruitful. You know, a healthy tree produces more fruit. What's the purpose of a zucchini? Apart from giving people fits on what to do with it all in August. The purpose of a zucchini is to make more zucchini so that there's always, you know, more to share, to grow and make more. What's the purpose of you and me as a Christian? What is the Lord's first purpose for us? That we receive him into our lives in faith as our Lord, that we root ourselves in who he is. We grow up in him and are strengthened in him so that we produce fruit. The fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of more believers who come to know him. Friends, that's the first thing. If we had a little badge and I had a cloth, I could pretend I was like the Ford guy. Quality is job one. Well, I don't have a badge and I don't have a cloth. Being a growing disciple of Jesus is job one. That's the first thing that we need to keep first. And my hope as we move forward is to intentionally keep that in my heart and life. You know, it's not always easy for a pastor to keep growing as a disciple because he's always handling this stuff kind of professionally and personally. So I'll be the first to tell you it's a challenge at times just to keep growing as a disciple, but it's a life I want to walk on. It's a life I invite you to join in because it's the first thing. That's why Jesus came when he sent his disciples off. You know, his last words in Matthew 28, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." I left out baptizing them. But the first thing that Jesus wants of you and me is to be his disciple, to be his follower. I share these messages at the beginning of the church year simply just by way of reminder. I mentioned that last week. I don't know that you've heard anything absolutely new over these last 2 weeks, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need to be reminded. Because it's easy to forget, it's easy to wander down a different path and say, oh yeah, That's what it's about. And so it's my hope that through our Sunday school classes, through our Bible studies, through our opportunities for fellowship together, as you have relationship with one another outside of everything that we call the First Congregational Church of Wyndham, that you and I will be growing followers of the Lord Jesus, that we will spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's the first thing. If we don't do that, we don't get anything else right. I'd like to get it right. Let's pray. Lord, entering the life of being a disciple really means having to make a choice of whether I am going to live for me or live for you. Whether I'm going to have my focus in mind and hold you at arm's length and just try to be in the same room with you, or allow you to set the agenda. Allow your focus to be my focus. Perhaps there's someone else in the room today that thinks about that same thing. It's going to mean a choice. And I want to make that choice. Lord, you are Lord. We confess that. And we want to be your people. Would you strengthen us to make the commitments that you ask, to surrender our lives to your leading, to make your focus our focus, to root ourselves down upon you, to be built up upon you and strengthened in you, to hearts overflowing with gratitude. Oh Lord, make that true of our lives. We ask in your name. Amen.